All right, welcome to the Word Warren. I'm your host, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, hi.
Well, and today we have Hannah on the controls.
As always, sliding the buttons.
Mm-hmm. And our special guest, Christy.
Hi.
Hi.
That was really kind of squeaky. I'll turn on my radio voice now.
There we go.
Turn on your radio voice.
Hello, everybody.
Is that your radio voice or is that your phone call voice?
No, my phone call voice is very professional.
Uh-huh.
And a little bit bright.
A little bit bright.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was talking about a different kind of phone call service, but you know.
Oh. I guess if that's what I was doing, then yes.
Right.
And we're going to talk about books.
We're going to talk about books. I forgot the tagline.
Yay, books.
Yay, books. We're going to talk about books. Specifically, we're going to talk about urban fantasy, and more specifically, also about the Dresden Files.
Woo! Yeah.
So, obviously, we did a full episode about fantasy, but I'm going to do a little bit more in-depth about urban fantasy itself.
Yep. And I feel like we talked about urban fantasy previously in the other two seasons that we've done.
That's true.
We've probably touched on it. But you know, to refresh.
To refresh. Basically, it's placing supernatural elements in an approximation of a contemporary urban setting. So it's a way to like combine like classic fantasy tropes while also without having to like create a whole new imaginary world.
Yeah.
It could just be like
it's
in
like
New York or whatever.
What if Gandalf was just in Seattle?
Yeah.
Like the hobbits are trying to take the ring to Canada.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Everything makes perfect sense. They're going to throw the ring into Mount Shasta or something.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Mount Shasta.
All those things.
Is Mount Shasta an active
volcano?
Look at
that. We just wrote a fan volcano.
I think it's dormant.
Okay.
But
well, it's not for this fantasy story. It's an active
volcano.
It's an active
volcano.
Yeah.
It would have to be.
Yeah. they can't take the Eagles because the U.S. Air Force will shoot them down immediately.
Yes.
They're trying to breach a secure government facility to destroy the ring, which the U.S. government wants to rule the world. Look, I've written...
You've written an urban fantasy. Perfect.
I would read that book. I would read it.
Yes. Yes.
So a little bit of sort of a history of it. So the term urban fantasy really came into use in publication in like the 70s and 80s with popularity of like Anne Rice and Stephen King and stuff like that. But before that, it was more likely to be called something called sensational fiction. It was basically just like exploring social anxieties that were induced by new technologies. That was kind of the idea of sensational fiction.
Which kind of plays into like science fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
More than fantasy.
More than fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, the AIs are going to take over in the world.
Right, yeah.
And then, of course, they got smart and broke off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God. Speaking of AIs, I saw a video. I don't know where it was, but there was this little AI robot that was programmed to like pick packages off of shelves and put them on a table, and that was its only task. It was just pick packages up, turn around, place them on the table, pick packages up, turn around, place them on the table. And this poor little robot was active for less than 15 minutes before its AI computing decided that the best course of action instead of this repetitive non-rewarding task was to just deactivate itself.
Oh no.
And it's AI the robot. Saddest thing. You just watch it doing this task and it gets like slower, progressively slower and slower at the task. And then at one point it just stops while it's like looking at this box and just falls to the ground. And I was like, oh no, we can't make labor robots smart, guys.
We can't do it. No.
Can't do
it. Figure it out.
No.
Nobody likes to do
that. Oh my God.
Likes to be repetitive.
Speaking of the robots are going to take over. Sorry. I watched that like last night and I was just like heartbroken about it.
Seriously. Yeah. No, I get it. Mood. Little robot mood.
I feel you, man. I feel you, little robot.
Some people like Mary Shelley and Poe and stuff would fall under the heading of a sensational fiction.
Okay.
Basically.
So urban fantasy adjacent.
Adjacent, yeah. But then obviously, like, so Stephen King, obviously, because like most of his stuff is like set in actual like towns, although he also made up a town for most of his novels too, but it's still in Maine.
You know? I feel like urban fantasy still counts as urban fantasy, even if you make up a location for it, as long as it's in a modern setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Gotham doesn't exist, but
like, it's still
but we all believe in Batman. Right.
But we all know.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Oh, no. Why doesn't Batman have a New Jersey accent?
Ooh, good question.
That's what I need. I just need a... I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Okay.
So basically, the 80s really is like when urban fantasy like came into its own. It like became like really popular, and I mean, continues to be popular. And while most like urban fantasy, like some urban fantasy novels can be like standalone, like bread and butter of the genre is like long one character, like main character driven like series. They're usually like, it's like Patty Briggs, it's like 13 novels, or To the Dresden File, which has like 17 or something.
Yeah.
And Kim Harrison is one of my favorite ones, which is, I think has also like 15 or something. Yeah. In it or whatever.
Simon R. Green's Nightside series is one of mine, and I think they're up to 18 or so now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, long form.
Yeah.
I can't imagine writing a series that long because I get bored of my own characters. Like, I write a story or two, and I'm like, okay, good job, guys. Let's go visit your other friends now.
Yeah.
Like, you guys can be like background characters,
right?
But like, we've talked already. Let's go hang out somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how do you keep coming up with plots for this character?
Right.
Like, I feel like that's. I feel like this character is exhausted. I would hate to be the main character in an urban fantasy series. Like, if I got isekai'd into like an urban fantasy series, I'd be like, no, I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere that's like the least fantastical place on earth, and I'm going to Disneyland. I'm going to go live in Disneyland because it's the most magical place on earth. But there are no supernatural elements in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The park would never allow that.
Never.
Mm-hmm. No. The staff would kick them straight out. Nothing can be more magical than the mouse. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Nothing can be. That's basically what urban fantasy is. It usually, obviously, most likely it's in a city, although sometimes it could be in a small town or even in a suburb of a city and still be considered urban fantasy. Yeah. The main thing is that it's like in a more recognizable
modern
like setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Like, you could have rural urban fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, set in modern times. Like, you know.
I would even make an argument sometimes, like, for, like, the Guards series that Terry Pratchett did. Oh, even though it's fully fantasy, but it's also set in a major city in a fantasy realm.
A semi-argument for that to be
urban fantasy.
I don't know, though, because it's in a made-up fantastical world, it's not set... there's no modern technology in
it.
That's
true.
It's... Fantasy has like the medieval elements to it. Like, that's kind of the bread and butter of what fantasy is, whereas urban fantasy is there a car involved? Does somebody have a car? If we have a car, it's urban fantasy.
Are they talking on cell phones? They don't use cell phones even in urban fantasy.
I mean, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. Patty Briggs has a lot of cell phones in her stories, man. Okay. A ton of cell phones. Simon R. Green does not have a lot of cell phones because they don't work in the night side.
Gotcha.
So,
same with Dresden.
Yeah. Okay. Cell phones just don't work in the night side. But like, if you're just in a random... There's internet? Does somebody have internet somewhere? Okay, it's urban fantasy.
Yep.
Does that mean that one Magic 2.0 series, is that urban fantasy or is that high fantasy?
I mean, we
decided that was science fantasy.
That's true. Yeah.
At one point, but like, they have computers.
They're in a computer program, right?
Yeah.
They don't have computers though, because in the game, they're just in the past. that they're in a game.
But I thought that it was a computer program that augmented reality. Like, it wasn't that they were in a game.
I don't know enough about the plot of this.
it's the real world, and they found a hack in a computer code that would allow them to have magic powers IRL.
Okay.
But there's a government agency that, like, tracks people down that have the code, and the only way they can escape it is to travel back in time and become wizards.
And become wizards. Okay.
It's a really fun book series. The data entry team was actually listening to the audiobooks for a really long time, and so I didn't get to listen to the whole thing because I've got headphones on like 80% of the time, but I managed to catch some of it, and I was like, this sounds amazing.
So yeah, it definitely has elements. It's genre crossing, it's is genre what I'm crossing, hearing. Like, yeah. It's lots yeah. of yeah, yeah.
And then there's also for romance readers, there is the paranormal romance mm-hmm. genre, yeah. Which is technically urban fantasy, right, yeah.
it
but
has
it's
a lot of elements of yes.
yeah. But like the difference is the story focused on romance, or is the story focused on a story and there are romance elements,
right,
yeah. kind of thing. Can it stand alone without the romance? Urban fantasy. Is romance the main plot?
Paranormal romance.
Yes.
Right. Voila.
And there are a lot of authors who start out as urban fantasy and quickly degrade. Degrade might not be the correct word, but like mm-hmm. I've started a few series where I'm like, wow, I really love this mm-hmm. series. It's great. And then book three, I'm like, oh no. Oh, okay. This is just a romance story now. This is all just nope. And there is no fade to black in here. This was not what I signed up to read today.
Yeah. Okay.
Charlene Harris.
Mm. Charlene Harris. I know, yeah.
Looking at you.
We could talk about Charlene Harris. I did not like the Charlene Harris novels, but I watched every single episode.
That's fair.
Of the True Blood
I loved, so I liked also, True Blood literally that. Until the third book. Mm-hmm. Like, I was super into it, mm-hmm. and then I hit the third book, and I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah, because even in the first book, at least there's, like, sort of a compelling, like, mystery, you know, and, like, all those kinds of things, and it was okay. I only read the first three
That's
books,
fair.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. The second book, I was like, okay, it's a little rough, but it's the second book in a series. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It'll get better. There's, like, 18 of these things. It has to get better. And then book three, I was like, this is not going to get better. This is going to continue doing what it's doing. Nothing against Charlene Harris. A lot of people love her books. Mm-hmm. It's just not. I picked it up thinking that it was going to be more like a vampire mystery,
right, yeah.
like crime solving, Scooby-Doo-esque, right, like
yeah.
mm-hmm, fun mm-hmm, thing. Yeah. And then it just ended up as trashy romance.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with trashy vampire romance. You do you.
It's just if you're expecting one thing and then you get
like, right.
That's a little different.
Right.
So I guess we'll move on to the main event and talk about some Jim Butcher and the Dresden Files.
Jim Butcher and the Dresden Files. I'm so glad you're here because I've mm-hmm. read so few of the Dresden Files. And
I've read all of them. I've read all the side stories.
Very good.
I've played like, the RPG.
This is like my favorite thing.
It's one of my favorites for sure. It's like, so you start out with when I think about the series, the first thing I think of is like the first two books could almost be like a standalone, mm-hmm. whatever, just, you know, a couple of stories that are fun to read, but you don't need to keep reading. And there's not elements that of intrigue to keep you reading. Although the second book is one of my favorite books just because there's so much that happens and it's so fun. And you've got Hex and Wolves and Loop Guru and shapeshifters that just happen to be shift into wolves.
Hey,
and
you know.
Then you get the kind that don't actually shapeshift, but their minds become primal and feral like
Ooh.
A wolf. And so there's lots and lots of fun different,
yeah.
you know, different kinds of werewolves, you know, from different groups of people hanging out in there, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to get a little bit into the publishing history just before we get too far into the actual
yes.
plot line
yes,
of
it's
it.
It's definitely a fun
yeah.
fun how he came up with it and how it like came about for sure.
Okay. So jump in with any of that because I didn't have a ton of that. I just have like a few, like basically the first novel Stormfront was published in 2000. Its working title was called Semi-Automagical.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My like, God. Why didn't you stick with that? If I was walking through a bookstore and I saw a book called Semi-Automagical, I right. would be like, well, I don't know what this is about, but I'm going to read it today. Yeah. It's so much cooler than Stormfront. Mm-hmm. Jim, what were you thinking?
Calling out all the authors today, are you?
Seriously. Yeah.
Listen, if any of you listen to our tiny little podcast,
come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast. You can get a hold of us at podcast@advunderground.com and you can yell at us about why we don't like your books hard enough. I would love to have you yell at us about your books. Like it would make me so happy to have any author on here to just absolutely. Be like, let me tell you about my books and why you should appreciate them harder than you do. Because nothing absolutely. Makes me happier than talking to authors about their creative process, mm-hmm. even if it's books I don't like. Like mm-hmm. hearing them be like, this was the idea behind it, and I got super into this mythology and like built this world, and I'm just like, yes, 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 tell me all about it.
It's just as fun as reading the books.
Jim, come talk to us.
Yeah. So he is pretty close to like a book a year he published, because he did do Full Moon was in 2001 and then Grave Peril was in 2001 also. And then it was like Summer Night in 2002, Death Mass in 2003. And then Blood Rites in 2004. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the first six books in the series were originally published in paperback, but then they got very popular. And so Rock, who is the one who was publishing, decided to reprint all of them in hardcover, and then have since published everything in hardcover first. And then since then. So, and yeah, there's a total of 17 volumes.
So
along
far.
With two anthologies.
Yes, so far, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually was in college mm-hmm. and taking writing classes. And his professor had said, you know, make an outline, come back, we'll talk about it. And so instead of making an outline for a book, he went home and made an outline for like a series of books.
Oh,
and she's okay. like, apparently his professor was like, okay, well, go with it then. So he actually wrote the original couple, the first couple, two or three, as outlines when he was going to school.
Wow.
And then published them later.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I can't imagine writing an outline for an entire series.
Right.
I can barely come up with a plot for like a single thing. Mm-hmm. Like plotting 17 books, that seems...
Yeah, he has a
horrifying
outline. His original outline was like for 20 books, but now he's saying it's probably going to be closer to like between 25 and 30.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of books. That's a lot very of cool books. Part, I mean, good for him. Like, dude, all my love for that. Because like I said, Nope. I'm like a single hero's journey. I'm like, we've got a little bump. We've got some excitement that happens. Friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. And then we solve it. And that's the end of the story. And nobody comes back in a second book. We move on to a new one.
Yep.
Yes. That's one of the things I liked about the Dresden Files is... that I not liked because I still like that I like about the Dresden Files is that there's enough change and enough, like, you know, you've got fairy and there's, you know, a group of Lovecraftian guys, and you get like the Queen of Air and Darkness who comes out in like I think the third book or fourth, one of those two, and she becomes a revolving character, and then you've got, you know, guys who are fighting on the side of God, and you've got like so many different elements and so many different characters coming in and out that it's even though Dresden is always there and always basically the same guy,
yeah,
he's still compelling enough, and the stories and the other characters are compelling enough that like it doesn't get old for me.
I mean that's what you have to do though if you're writing 20 books, 30 books, whatever. You have to have different stories every time, and I mean a lot of urban fantasy writers are really, really good at that. They're really good at being like, here's the main character, this is the person these stories are about, But each of these stories is going to tackle a completely different subject, a completely different topic, and we're going to get a really diverse cast of, like, background and supporting characters. You have to. Mm-hmm. You have to, because if it was just, like, the werewolves and the vampires are fighting again for 20 books.
yeah, that might be a little.
I mean, I like some werewolf vampire drama as much as the next person, but after 20 books, you're like, somebody figure it out. I don't know what to tell you guys. Sit down, talk about it, or shut up.
Exactly.
And I do want to mention also, because I think we've actually talked about this on the podcast before, but almost all 17 of his novels were also narrated by James Marsters in the audiobook versions.
He, when I hear his voice, mm-hmm. he is now the voice of Dresden for me. Yeah. Like, he's not Spike from Buffy.
Yeah.
James Marsters is now, he is Harry Dresden.
I mean, he could be bold.
Because he doesn't have a British accent, right?
Right.
When he's right.
Like, Dresden's from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So it's
Chicago.
He doesn't really have an accent either. He's kind of like the Batman Enigma. No New Jersey Batman accent, no Man. Chicago accent.
No, you guys are killing me. You can't put somebody from a locale with a very distinct accent and just be like, oh no, they don't have an accent though. Like they just speak without that accent. No, they don't.
Does it help that Harry kind of grew up everywhere?
I've been everywhere.
His father was a magician.
That does, mm-hmm. that does help a little
okay.
bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when you live in an area for any extended amount of time, you start picking up on local dialect ticks. It's just something that happens in humans. We are good at mimicry, and it kills the immersion. Okay, leave me alone.
Yeah, James.
Okay. James,
get it together. Hey, James Marsters, come on the show and talk about.
James Marsters, come on the show and talk about how hard it is to constantly do accents all the time when you're an actor and everybody expects you to just be able to do stuff like that off the top of your head.
And then do a whole chapter of Dresden Files in a Chicago accent.
Come on our show. We can have a voice-off battle where I can show you the only accent I can do reliably, which is my Brooklyn blacksmith from my Icewind Dale D&D campaign. And Sarah can attest to it that once I start doing it, I will never stop.
Never stop. We had to quickly leave that town so we didn't have to come back.
I was like, you guys can't go visit him again. You can't go talk to him again because I will. Every character subsequently that you encounter will have that accent. The first session that they met that guy in, they talked to him for like an hour.
Oh, dang.
And I was so stuck in that voice for the rest of the session. I was so mad about it.
I can't stop doing it.
The sled dog guy ended up being a Brooklyn car salesman. Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. I was just like, okay.
Icewind Dale is just Brooklyn.
Icewind Dale covered is in just snow. Brooklyn covered in snow. And the goblins have this weird, like, Russian/Italian/Hispanic accent. I don't know where it came from, but it's the weirdest one. I can't do voices.
But okay, so this is like a planned sidebar here, but because one of his novels, Ghost Story, mm-hmm. was narrated by a different guy named John Glover because James Marsters had scheduling conflicts, so he couldn't do the voiceover.
But
John Glover is great. I've never listened to these ones, but John Glover, if nobody knows. I mean, I can't name, I don't know what would be the most memorable. The most memorable for me was that he played the devil in a short-lived sci-fi channel show that I watched called Brimstone, which was so freaking good. And now I'm going to talk about Brimstone for a minute.
All right. I mean, I just sidebarred us into Icewind Dale, so let's talk about Brimstone for a minute. Tell me about Brimstone.
Brimstone was like this, because it fits right along with our urban fantasy, because it's like the main character is a police officer who went rogue, you know, because it's like wife gets murdered. And so then the guy gets off on all the charges. So then he tracks him down and murders him and he gets away with that. But then like 2 months later in like an unrelated incident, he gets killed on the job and he goes straight to hell.
Straight to hell. Straight to hell.
But then there's a breakout in hell and there's like 113 people who have now escaped hell back to earth. And so he makes a deal with the devil to become living again. But in exchange for that, he has to hunt down all of these souls and return them to hell. Because they're all bad guys.
I love that. Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. That sounds so cool. Oh my gosh. It I want to watch really that
good.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. It was very short. It only had like 12 episodes, but it was very good. Yeah.
Well, kind of springboarding off that too is urban fantasy is a very, very popular genre for pop culture TV.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's
everywhere.
It's everywhere. I'm like trying to think of like titles and it's just all of them.
Right.
Like
everything on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Definitely everything. Just about everything on the Sci-Fi. Yeah.
There's Buffy and Angel.
Buffy and Angel. There's Lost Girl. There's,
I mean, even movies that have been coming out. Oh, nope. Nope.
Lost it.
Lost it. It's the new one that just came out about the dude that's Dracula's assistant.
Oh, Renfield.
Renfield.
Yes.
I cannot wait to see that.
I cannot wait to see that so bad. Urban fantasy.
It is.
Urban fantasy. 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't get more urban fantasy than a vampire walking into a Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever meeting.
Right.
Asking for help.
Asking right. Help. Please, exactly. I need help.
I'm in a bad relationship.
That's actually how one of my favorite urban, technically it would be a paranormal romance story. But the second book in the series, the main character is at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting because she doesn't want to be a vampire and she's having trouble controlling her urge to drink blood. But she just plays it off like she's has trouble drinking.
I mean, yes.
God, that reminds me of Count Crowley and the Amateur Vampire Hunter, which was a comic book series that I read recently. It was really good too, because I mean the main character is an alcoholic, but she has to fight vampires because she accidentally starts hosting a TV show.
Speaking of Crowley, Good Omens. Ooh, urban good fantasy. Omens.
Yep. So many.
There's so many. And I mean, a lot of these are like also books that have been made into TV shows or movies.
Right.
But a lot of them are also just standalone movies than TV shows that, you know, inspired books.
Exactly. Yes.
A lot of urban fantasy books that I read reference, I mean, everything.
All of it. All over the place.
The amount of Buffy references that right. I find in urban fantasy is just not surprising.
Yes. if there's any pop culture from like the 80s and 90s, there's going to be a reference of it in the Dresden Files.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, in the 17th book, or it was the end of the 16th book. I can't remember because those two kind of bleed together since they were released so close together. Mm-hmm. Somebody finally says, "You're a wizard, Harry." And it was like, it was like the moment that you've been waiting for 17 books is for somebody to finally say,
you know, it.
Make a Harry Potter reference.
About time.
Right. And it's like ghost story. Ghost Story has tons of Ghostbuster references, there's a bunch of like even song and references for and show references for things that just totally fit into what he's going through in that book. Which I do have to come back to say that eventually James Marsters did record Ghost Story as well.
So there's
two of them,
versions.
I have both of them. And I've listened to both, and I prefer the James Marsters.
Of course.
That's cool. Okay. I had no idea.
But it's like one of the fun things about urban fantasy is that you can bring in those elements of high fantasy or, you know, fantastical worlds and bring them into Chicago, like the city of
real
Chicago,
world, right?
And, and like, have it be like, this totally fits.
Like you can talk about wizards and elves and like sword fighting, and you can also just drop meme references, and both of those things can coexist at the same time. And it's a lot harder to do in like standard fantasy. It can be done, and it's hilarious when it's done well in high fantasy, and they just make like some modern pop culture reference, and you're like, it's just like Captain America sitting in the shield room. I understood that reference.
Yes.
It seems out of place, but it did it so seamlessly.
Yes, so seamlessly.
Well, so, I mean, talking about TV, then there was a Sci-Fi Channel adaptation of The Dresden Files.
Yes, there was one season.
Was it any good? In your expert opinion.
It was good, aside from...
I will say, because I've never read any of his books, but I did watch the show, and I liked the show.
Okay.
Because Paul Blackstone, who plays Dresden in it, he's great. He's, like, a slightly better-looking Dresden. But, like, the other characters, like, he's one of those guys in the books that he's very, like, curmudgeonly and doesn't hang out with a lot of people. And in the show, they kind of make him look like a womanizer, which is completely the opposite of his character in the books. But it's fun. It's fun to watch because it does, you know, go over like the first couple books, and has a couple storylines that aren't in the books. But I love that his name is Paul Blackstone, and Harry's name is Harry Blackstone, blah blah blah, Dresden. I can't think of it all of a sudden.
Hold on.
But he's got two middle names, and one of them's Blackstone.
Full name. Don't let me down. Harry Blackstone.
Copperfield! Of course.
Copperfield.
Yeah, because Blackstone's like harkens to his mother, who was a wizard, and then Copperfield harkens to his father, who was a magician.
Oh, fantastic. I like that. That's really cool. Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google, for getting it right for us.
Actually, I guess this is technically DuckDuckGo, so...
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you, search engine.
Apparently, there was a huge, like, fan effort to get the show not canceled, but it did get canceled after 12 episodes, so...
They canceled too many!
Yes, yeah.
Sorry, I brought up
that. Too soon.
too soon.
So I have a confession to make.
Oh.
When Serenity came out, I watched it.
Have you not watched Firefly?
I did.
Okay.
But only just recently.
Okay. I feel like that's okay, though.
Like two weeks ago, I finished the last episode, and I was like, yep. We were done dirty.
So dirty. I hate... So it's not a new thing, but it's happening a lot recently. I hate... this trend of really good shows that the fans of the show love, that they're like, this is so good. I totally saw that. This is so good. This is exactly the kind of show that we've been wanting to, we've been hoping that you guys would make. And then the studio's going, man, we're just going to cancel it after season. We're not going to do a season two.
Right.
We're not going to do a season two.
It's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Or they make a season two, but like The Witcher, where they just butcher all of the material and just make a garbage show.
Yeah.
That even the actors get mad about.
Right.
You should have just let Henry Cavill write the show for you. He would have done a better job. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was so excited about that role, man.
He was.
He was so pumped.
He was so sad when he had to go.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
And I was too.
I was too. But I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
They keep doing it with like urban fantasy shows specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like And now I just had Stephen Carell from Bruce Almighty pop through my head. One of the things is that you also get those shows like Lucifer that was canceled and then came back for two or three seasons on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, thank you so much. Now let's do this for everybody.
And
then the next one doesn't get picked up and you're like, oh, man, yeah. Now my hopes are up.
Lucifer is such a good show, too.
So amazing. So good.
So good. So good. So
Brooklyn good. Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. moved. It moved to a completely different, you know.
Yeah. And it just, I don't understand the thought process behind making a show that is wildly successful and very popular and just deciding not to continue it. It seems stupid. It seems like a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, TV execs.
I feel like that's something that you should be capitalizing on a little more. Right. Like, right. Oh, a ton of people like this show. We should probably make another season.
Uh-huh.
Right. We should probably do that. But then you'd have to, you know, pay your writers. I'd like to take a moment to say that we here on the Word Warren and AU Radio Podcast Network stand with the writers. And we hope that the strike goes well and that you guys get what you're looking for. Yeah. We support artists of all endeavors. Mm-hmm.
And without the writers.
And without the writers, we don't have shows.
Exactly.
We should be paying people enough to live off of for the services that they provide us, mm-hmm. even if that service is writing a script.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That takes craft and knowledge and dedication and a love of the source material that you can't get anywhere else. It's mm-hmm. it's absolutely mind-boggling that this is even a thing that has to be talked about. We stand with the Writers Guild.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. Yeah. 100%.
So there was also, I don't know, like, how long production stuff takes, so this could be maybe there's nothing, but in 2018, Fox 21 did option it for a new TV series. I don't know if there's been any new developments on that, though.
Oh. Ho, ho, ho. So, oh. Hey, man, if anybody's picking that up.
Right?
Let us know. Give us the inside scoop.
Right? Yeah, let us know.
We want to know all.
We want to know it all. And obviously, there was also some graphic novels that were published as well. There was one prequel that was called Welcome to the Jungle, just set before Stormfront. They did novelizations of Stormfront and Full Moon. And then they published a couple other miniseries after that that kind of set in between the books and things like that. So
yeah, I just recently went through Welcome to the Jungle because I was like, kind of want to read some Dresden. So here, I'll read this. The only thing, the graphic novel was great. It was well done. But for me, like, you only get like the dialogue that is given to you.
Yeah.
Whereas in the books, one of the best things about Harry Dresden is the way he thinks.
Yeah. Oh, do they not do sidebar thought panels in the comics?
Not really.
Oh,
no.
Ooh,
yeah. So it's just dialogue bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And so it you miss this whole like great part of Harry and his sarcastic, you know, smart ass.
I mean, and that's, you're fine. You're
smart
fine.
Alec comments to himself and to other people. And, you know, it's yeah, I just miss that.
And there's plenty of proof in urban fantasy comics that is absolute. Like, if you read Constantine,
mm-hmm.
Constantine has just sidebar thought bubbles all the time where he's just like talking about, I mean, go read Deadpool. Jesus.
Right. Right.
You can have your super snarky asides in a comic. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just have speech bubbles. There is a good way to communicate with the audience.
Exactly.
Pretty much any Neil Gaiman graphic novel. I mean, really, Neil Gaiman graphic novels are just illustrated books.
That is true. Very true.
They are so wordy.
They're so wordy.
They are so mm-hmm. wordy. But mm-hmm. but you can simplify it.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. It still works.
Mm-hmm. I love the Sandman series. It's mm-hmm. one of my absolute favorite graphic novel series. But it is wordy.
It is wordy.
There is so much text on every page. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I thought this was a comic. Not a book. Mm-hmm. Like a comic mm-hmm. book, not a like really book. Like,
right. But he makes it work.
But it works. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. works so well. And it's delightful.
Yes.
Because it's Neil Gaiman. It's delightful.
It's delightful.
Yes.
Oh, and then Evil Hat Productions, which is like a game publisher.
Yeah.
I love Evil Hat.
They have done two different versions. So they, in 2010, they did one that was based on the Fate system.
Mm-hmm.
And it had three volumes for it. And then in 2017, they did Dresden Files Accelerated, which is based on the Fate Accelerated Edition thing.
I have done some Dresden RPG.
Is it a fun system?
Yes.
I mean, the Fate system's pretty fun.
Yes, it is. Our problem was that we started right before COVID then proceeded into COVID. And so there was like one person completely just was out of it right away.
Gotcha.
And so they were only at the first, you know, the first get together. And then the second one, they were playing Santa's Elves. So they had kind of had to be together, and then they ended up both dropping out. So then we just had a Valkyrie, a shapeshifter, and a wizard, and so it was a little bit harder.
Yeah,
because part of the story is written around the fact that these are disgruntled Santa's elves.
Okay,
walking around Seattle.
gotcha. Well. Okay. It always sounded like a really fun RPG.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up a few times to like look at it be like, I have so many others that I
know,
need to play.
It looks like it might be fun, but because it seems more narratively driven instead of like based on
combat
rolling
driven.
It's combat and stuff like that. Driven. So that sounds cool, but I've never played any Fate before.
You get a little bit more free will, as a character.
Fate's a really fun system, and it's really not that hard to learn. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty straightforward system. I think it's one of those ones that most people could pick up and do.
My only experience with the Fate system is that I watched that one tabletop with Will Wheaton. They played it. But then Evil Hat also did a card game, a cooperative card game called The Dresden Files that's for 1-8 players.
I'll have to look into that one because I didn't know that.
You didn't know something about the Dresden
Files.
What did we bring you here for?
I can tell you all the little tidbits. And that's about it. Like there's a Sasquatch.
Oh. We love a Sasquatch.
We do love a Sasquatch here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A big feats.
A big feats.
And he's like, they're like friends of the forest. But there's also some that are like the Yeti. There's a Yeti in one of the books. He wouldn't be happy about being called a Yeti, but that's basically what he is.
But he's
cranky and he smells really bad.
But he's a Yeti.
Yeah. But he can also, he has a very amazing veil system. So he can even block his smell.
Oh, hey.
Somehow.
Or mask it.
Mask it somehow so that you can't tell.
Magic.
Yes.
That's just,
they have lots of magic.
That's just the absolute best the best reason for me for like any kind of urban fantasy thing where people are like, how does that even work? It's magic. Shut up.
Exactly.
It's magic. Don't worry about it.
Just magic.
Because I told Leah that we were talking about urban fantasy, she told me that I should mention the Hollows series by Kim Harrison because it's one of her favorites.
Oh, cool.
Since I saw them in the notes about Dresden Files, we can talk more about it, but I'm just like saying that's all I have for notes. So, but I was like writing out all the titles for the Kim Harrison books, and she's got some really like choice wordplay on some of them. They're like
nice.
It's like the first book is called Dead Witch Walking, you know, and they're like a ton of them are like very like they throw back to like spaghetti western type stuff. I don't know. It's like A Fistful of Charms, For a Few Demons More, the Outlaw Demon Wails, you know, like
nice.
No. Yeah. The Witch with No Name.
Yeah.
I mean, solid choices, honestly. Solid. Mm-hmm. Was there anything specific about the Dresden Files that you wanted to lecture us about?
Yeah. Is there anything?
Anything that we left out? Anything you'd like to?
I mean, he's like, if you were to take Constantine and Deadpool and sit them down with Harry Dresden, they would all be very similar. They would like.
Yep.
They're very, very similar. Mm-hmm. they all defy authority. They all are very sarcastic and have, you know, witty things to say. They all, you know, fight really hard for the underdog.
Little grimy, little grimdark.
Yeah. But one of the things about Dresden that I love so much is that he is constantly like
putting himself at risk to help people. And it's like in the very last book, there's a huge, big battle. It's called Battleground, so I'm not spoiling anything, but there's a big, huge battle. And like everything in him was screaming to do what he needed to do to go out and help people. Even though the groups of people he was working with were like, no, no, you have to wait. We're the big guns. Just let the regular people, you know, let the little people just take all the hits.
Ugh.
And he couldn't.
Yeah.
He jumped off a building.
Good on you.
He just couldn't. And so he comes up with all of these fantastical ways to deal with a situation, and all of these people go to bat for him, even if they're pissed off at him. And he's got a mob boss who he's constantly at battles at odds with, but they also work together frequently.
Nice.
It's not just magical people that he goes up against. I mean, he's fighting anybody for anything as long as he's helping somebody.
Yeah.
And he makes friends with the little people. It's like the little pixie type of people. They wouldn't like to be called that. But they call him the Zaw Lord because he feeds them pizza and they are loyal to him. And
Zaw Lord.
he has this cat that's like this like huge cat that comes up to like his knee or something, and I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to put into words all of the greatness that is him, but like he's the stories, like you just always rooting for him.
Yeah.
Like even when he's like, you're like, oh, you can't do it that way. And he's not the kind of guy who constantly is like, you can't help me because I don't need your help. And then in the end gets saved by the other person.
Yeah.
He'll keep them out of the loop and then they'll just still be out of the loop and he's, you know, bleeding broken.
I feel like you would really, really like the Nightside series by Simon R. Green, because John Taylor, the main character in there, is the kind of just grim, dark noir detective that I think that like reminds me so much of him, like Harry Dresden.
Yes.
and he's kind of the same, like he's really jaded and like untrusting of a lot of stuff, but he is at the end of the day the person that's like trying to save everybody, even at the expense of his own like sanity and health constantly.
right.
And the Nightside is this really like dark fantasy place where he's constantly working with and against forces that are like super anti-human. And so he's like making packs and forging alliances with creatures that maybe don't always see eye to eye with him about stuff, and saving the world in little ways that nobody ever really realizes.
I highly suggest it.
I bawled. Like, you get the supporting characters in the books that like you get to know, and like when bad things happen to him, you're like, what? No. Or like bad things that happen in general, and like I don't think I've ever bawled at a book before, but I bawled through like 3 or 4 chapters and I couldn't stop.
That's fair. Like, yeah. That's, no. I mean, that's good praise for a book for me.
Right?
Like, yeah. If you can get me, like, yeah. good job there. Good job, but. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, awesome. That was fun.
What are we reading?
What are we currently reading? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Are you currently reading anything, Christy?
This morning I finished A Bloody Fool for Love, which is a Spike prequel to Buffy.
Ooh.
I have that one. I haven't started reading
yet. Yeah, I was like, I'll give it a chance. And it's, you know, it's just a fun side story that, you know, has him and Drusilla and
Darla.
Angelus has just run off to be non-demonic.
Right.
They're in London and they get into some trouble, as Spike is wont to do.
Of course.
And it was fun. It's kind of urban fantasy. It's a little bit more early 1900s, but
urban adjacent.
Yeah.
Adjacent.
So that's fun. And then I started another book since then. It's a Becca Roan Horse book called Tread of Angels.
Ooh.
Which it's not really modern times. It's kind of like a throwback Western type.
Ooh.
So it takes place in this little town in Colorado where they're mining not for gold or silver, but for virtuous things.
Huh. Okay.
And there's fallen angels and demonic people and people who are like half demon. And I'm just very short into the beginning, but there's already been a bar brawl.
Okay. I mean, okay. You start a book with a bar brawl. That's a good way to start a book.
A bar brawl, and then the virtuous people who are in charge, who aren't necessarily actually good people, but they say they are, and they follow, like, they're like in categories of angels. So like, there's,
I mean, listen, if you call yourself the virtuous people, I already don't trust you,
right?
So that's like a big corporation saying, when you're here, your family.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So yeah, I'm not very far into it. So far it's really good. She's Rebecca Roundhorse is a great writer.
Nice.
I like her a lot. So.
Very good. What about cool. you, Sarah? What are you reading?
I'm reading. So I just finished reading The Sea of Tranquility by Emily Simon John Mandel, which I really liked. It was so good. It was like a kind of a sci-fi time travel anomaly. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It was like, because it takes place in multiple, one in the 1912. It was like 1912 was like the first chapter. And then it was like 1986, I think, when like the next one. And then it was like 2043, and then it was like 2204 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Like, okay. And then there's like a weird anomaly that happens to all the people in these time things, and like trying to figure out what it was, like why they were all experiencing this same weird happening, basically. It was really good. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I've been reading webtoons. I haven't been reading any books right now. I'm working on some writing projects that are just free time things for a friend of mine.
Okay.
But I they're nothing like major or anything like that. He's running one of those alternate reality games.
Right, okay.
The ARG things. And so I'm working on some stuff for his thing.
That's cool. That sounds really cool, though. Yeah.
That's been, like, my life for the last, like, 2 weeks. I've been like, hold on, stop doing new things. Let me finish.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you were telling me about it the other day, and it sounds awesome.
I just don't want to talk too much about it, I don't want to spoil anything.
I totally get it, yeah.
not that fun. Anybody's going to find our podcast, but, like, just in case someone does.
There would be
does,
somebody on there.
And they're like, oh my god, that's the thing. And I'd be like, shit, I just spoiled all of it.
Right.
And like those random obscure podcasts.
Right, exactly.
Totally ruin your life.
Right. Just like I didn't mention it by name. I didn't put mm-hmm. any hashtags in, but somehow they found it and they're like, this is talking about this one right now.
Talking about it.
Funny. They're so paranoid they might.
Okay. Book club. Yes. So book club is being postponed until the 9th of June.
Yes.
It normally would have been the first Friday, but we're doing the second Friday because Mushroom Fest. And then we are reading. So for the Underground Book Club, we are reading Loki's Ring. I forget the author's name, but
by someone.
By someone.
If you're watching this on YouTube.
Here
a picture
is.
Of the book will be on your screen and you can see who the author is.
I take pages and pages and pages of notes and I can't jot down a title. Like, what the heck?
And then our YA book club book is Howl's Moving Castle.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That is it.
It's good.
That is who I also can't remember the author of that one, mm-hmm. but it regardless.
Regardless.
I think the last name starts with like a B or C. D.
I don't know.
H.
It starts with A.
G or H.
It starts with an alphabet letter.
Doesn't start with.
I'm trying to think of like where I know the book is on the shelves downstairs.
I was going to be like, is it Jones? No, I can't remember.
No, I'm not going to try guessing because I will get it wrong. But there will be a picture on our YouTube video. And for those of you who are not watching on YouTube, you can go to advunderground.com and find it on our book club pages.
Or you can even join our Facebook book club group and you can see it there too.
Is that just in the Adventures Underground.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you go to Adventures Underground on Facebook, you should be able to find our book club, link from there.
Mm-hmm.
And go, and then you'll get updates faster about the book club book.
Mm-hmm.
So much sooner. Instead of like halfway through the month.
Yeah, exactly. Much faster than
like,
we will.
Like you'll get the updates on what books you're reading before the discount stops applying.
Yeah.
Because this episode, if you're listening to it and you're like, man, I'm going to go pick up that book. If you would have picked it up sooner, you would have saved 20% off of it. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's
true. Look at me advertising.
Look at you.
Like a professional. If you'd like to sponsor the show, you can follow us on Patreon.com. You get cool things every month. I send postcards out.
Postcards.
Ooh. Postcard. For $5 a month, you can have access to a one-of-a-kind AU radio postcard every month, as well as secret recordings.
Secret recordings.
Secrets.
Secrets.
Ooh. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Well, thank you, Christy, for joining us for this. This was fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
We're done.
And we're done.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to The Word Warren on AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store, or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered.
If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.